Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
What's up, hustlers? Welcome back. This is your host, Andrew Morgans, founder of Marketnology, here for today's episode of Startup Hustle. I'm covering all things e-commerce, Amazon, entrepreneurship. Excited about today's guest, Nick Panev. Before I introduce him and get him a chance to say hello, he represents a company now called HelloTax. I think whenever I first connected with him, he sent about 20 or 30 introductions my way. So I'm still catching up a little bit. This guy is a networking freak in the best sense of the word. And is just super connected in the e-commerce industry. Before we get started and getting to know Nick's story and more about HelloTax, let's give a shout out to today's sponsor, Fullscale.io, helping you build software teams quickly and affordably. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks for having me on the show, and thanks for the great introduction. Like you said, like introduction freak, I spoke with a new partner yesterday, and I made like 10 introductions and said, man, you're the king of introductions.
You are. You're like the king of LinkedIn.
Yeah, I like that. But see, you know, this is not my story. You know, I used to be I've been like a sales guy since kindergarten. No, I was.
Let's start there. Let's start in kindergarten. Yeah, I like to get the hero story, at the beginning. The origin story.
I mean, you know, I was in kindergarten. No, I'm from Bulgaria. Back then, it was the end of the 80s. It was still a communist country. So I was drawing. I was very good in drawing paintings. So I was drawing pictures for the other kids, like cows, whatever, and I was selling them for pennies. And the teachers caught me, and they found like a whole jar of pennies in my locker, and they called my parents, and they say, okay, what are you guys doing? Why are you teaching him this capitalist shit? No, he's not supposed to take money. This is not how we do stuff. So they punish me, they backlash my parents, so I stop my stuff. But since then, I guess I'm always into selling some stuff, and I guess this comes natural to me. So I finished high school, all the other stuff. I finished high school in the States. I went to university. But if you consider anything on my side, you know, your career or your, I guess, journey starts after education, because I fully believe that you can educate yourself. I mean,
yeah.
And I have calls with people all the time. Nobody ever asked me, where did they go? Where did they finish this and that? I don't do that as well. I judge people not by where they live or what did they do, by what they say and what they do with me after. So always under promise and over deliver. So that's my approach. And I guess, you know, sales was the natural thing for me to go as like a sales guy for a US company, like 16 years ago. The company was called Apos.net.
Okay, hold on. We need a little bit more pauses because I got some questions. Okay,
Okay, sure.
One. I was in Moscow and Belarus as a kid when I was, I think I was 7 years old. It was communist in the early 90s, still in Moscow. And we traveled by train to Belarus. And I don't think a lot of Americans from the Midwest probably have an understanding of what that country was like, or like Eastern Europe or any of those places during communist rule. But when you talk about selling stuff for pennies, I remember going to like the ballet for 50 cents or something. It was I mean, in America, that would never happen. And no matter when, if it was the 90s or whenever. So amazing. Like, you know, Gary Vee is another one from Eastern Europe. Just some tough places. And I think it can make some of the best entrepreneurs. So I just wanted to relate a little on that. Just really understanding. And I want to get into a little bit more of your story before you just jump into sales. So, you know, you started in elementary, kind of just having a hustle, entrepreneurship mindset. School, out of school, like, were you still there, or did you move away?
No. I mean, I've been in Bulgaria till I finished high school. So I finished high school in Bulgaria, and then I went to the States. But in between then, I changed like 5 or 6 schools.
Okay.
I get bored very easily, and my parents are very open-minded, so whatever I decide, I do that. So in high school, I used to have like a casa with some friends. We were ordering some stuff. We had like friends in the States. They were ordering some stuff, where they're importing them, and we're reselling them, like the Matrix soundtrack, for example. Nobody knew about there was a movie. Exactly. So we're selling them like crazy. So I guess I was always, about this type of
hustling.
Selling.
You always hustling.
Yeah, but I mean, nothing illegal, but just, I guess, finding like the right solution for somebody, or finding a product that there is a big demand for that. So, and honestly, I had no idea what I would like to do with my wife. I went to the States because I like always new stuff. I mean, the funny thing is that I came in the States like a week before the September 11th.
Okay.
And then I went to school one morning in California. No, I was in Layton, which is like close to Fresno. And the first thing we saw, we're just watching the Twin Towers in the airplane. So that was my first experience in the States.
Wow.
So,
that's wild. Right. You know, it's kind of crazy. I didn't know our stories were that close, but I moved from Congo, Africa, when I was 16, in December, right after 9/11. So 2001. So I moved 2 months after you to America. I think I wasn't completely done with high school, so I was 16. I still had 2 more years, but very similar timing. And I remember, like, you know, because when we first came back, it was only 2 months after that, all of the like traveling, planes, airports, everything was like, just everyone was freaked out. You know, security was extremely high. I came from Congo, which is, you know, if you get flagged, you probably similar to being like from, you know, a country that's flagged as well, that might have terrorists or something like that. Mm-hmm. So every time I traveled for the next 10 years, I think when I was younger, they pulled us to a room, did all that kind of stuff. So right after 9/11, it was like, it was a crazy time. And I'm sure it was a crazy time to be, like moving to America. I mean, the first
the funny thing is, because you have like orientation in New York, so I stayed like 3 days in New York, so I have like pictures with the Twin Towers just a week before the attack. So I mean, but obviously nobody was expecting that. Even there is like a lot of conspiracy theories, but you know, but one thing I noticed, that you know, because I lived with the host family, they were like Latter-day Saints, you know. I was like a host father, and I noticed that you guys were very united in the States. I mean the community, you know, they just stuck together, and
it was a beautiful time, I think.
So, but I guess, I mean, this is what I like in the States, the spirit, you know. I was in a small school, like 200 students. Well, I love the rallies on Fridays, you know, before the games. You know, we were small school, but I like all the energy that, you know. So I guess it's very similar to me, because I'm very like proactive guy. I don't wait. I'm always action. I talk, but I always make sure to know I keep up the action after it.
I love that. That's a testament of like all the intros you made after we connected. You know, it wasn't even about selling me Hello Tech so much as selling me people you thought I need to know that were great connections.
Yeah, I mean, I do that all the time. And the thing is, no, I mean, probably no, if we talk about partnership in general, I mean, this is something that a lot of companies or people in general are missing. You know, they talk, they don't keep their promises, which is a bad thing, you know. I mean, and on my side, they always under promise and over deliver. This is the way. I mean, my wife is saying that I'm a little crazy because I don't do it for the money. No, I just like to do it. I mean, whatever I do it like that. I mean, and I guess we're going a little off topic, but I was an e-commerce here where I sold my brand, so I was semi-retired.
Let me help us get us back on track. Okay, yeah, so you're born as a hustler, meaning just like selling, like making a hustle, like selling DVDs, mm-hmm. selling paintings, selling drawings, like, you know, you just always were like finding an opportunity. So when did you come? So you moved to the US, 2001 out of high school. When did you come across e-commerce? Let's start there.
E-commerce, 9 years after that. So let me just give you more. I mean, I got a scholarship for Fresno Pacific. I finished high school. I had a girlfriend back then. And back I came then.
What
back
happened?
Because of, yeah, here it is.
okay.
We're married. So it was a good decision after that. So I came back here. I started this job in an outsource company in Bulgaria, apos.net. You know, they were based in California. So long story short, you know, I was there for 5 years. I was the top sales guy in the company. And again, I have this mindset, you know. People, you know, all sales jobs, you have like a quota. You need to do that much per month. So, and most of my colleagues did the following, you know. They hit the quota, which was like 7K, and they stopped selling. That's it. On my side, I never stop. I mean, when I hit my quota, I check who is second. If they're like few Ks below me, I'm not happy. I want to be much, I guess, to do much more than that. Then when I'm happy with what I did for the month, then I start selling for next month. So I never stop, you know. I guess there is a little crazy in that but I'm just like that. I mean,
competitive. There's some of us that are wired that way and some of us that aren't.
Exactly.
And,
you know,
for me, a lot of people, especially when I really started getting like my mindset and to really build what I've built for a while, I had to just say no to people all the time. No to hanging out, no to doing a lot of the things I'd done before. You know, we talked about working at bars before this started and being bartenders. You make a different friend group. They like to go out late and they like to hang out, and that's your family. That's your friends. But I started changing the way I was doing things, my habits. And, you know, for a long time, I got a lot of flack for it. Like, oh, my God, you're working too much, or how much money is too much money, or you're just like, you know, a workaholic. And for me, it was like, no, I'm working more than you, maybe, or harder than you, if you want to say that and you think I'm working too much. But you're really just projecting on me because I know I can do better for myself. Like, you know, I just know that I can bring it more. I can do my research more before the calls or before the podcast or any number of things. I knew like I can do better, and not in a bad way, not in a judgmental way of myself, but just like a, I guess it really has been me versus me, not to be cliche. But once I started getting that, it was like, well, Nick, you know, you're like, well, okay, I've beat everybody, but like, I didn't beat my last month's goals or like the last month's goals or whatever the case might be. And you're driven to just do better for yourself. You know, I think some people are just wired that way.
Exactly. My way that, no, some people need guidance. They need somebody to tell them. On my side, I put my own, I guess, targets, goals, and I follow them. Mm. I mean, and I'm very, I mean, and I guess, no, this is where, you know, the story gets a little more interested. So I was, like I told you, the top sales guy in the company, you know, we were doing great, but, you know, the company got acquired. So they decided to close the office in Sofia. So from doing like 5K per month, I went to zero, which is, I mean, 5K is a lot in Bulgaria. I was in my mid-20s. You can imagine, oh, that's a lot of money. Even now, it's a lot. I mean, the minimum, so, I guess, salary is like 500.
I think I got confused a little bit. Okay, so one, I do understand. I do want to talk about that, the salary being like $500 a month, and then you are making like 5K. That's like, that's a big deal. In the same way in Kinshasa, 99 in Congo, 99% unemployment. If you were making $100 a month as a Congolese, that was a huge deal. So putting in perspective, I missed the part where I thought you were in California. No, you went back to Bulgaria.
No, yeah. I went back. No, this is why I showed you the ring. You know, okay. I came back because of my girlfriend back then, which became wife. So it's a good decision.
Okay.
At the end, because we're still together, we have two kids, so all good there. So and for 5 years, I was working in Sofia, which is the capital in Bulgaria, for this company.
Forgive me.
The US-based company. It was called Apos.net. They acquired that. It's called Codere right now. They used to be a competitor of GoDaddy in Rackspace back then.
Okay.
So that's what we do. So it had nothing to do with e-commerce. Of course, we did like sell dedicated hosting, web design, but nothing specifically for e-commerce. So they closed the office. And you know, sometimes in life you have this like bad periods. And I'm not talking only for losing, I guess, the job. In the meantime, I got a new job, you know. But in the meantime, my wife got pregnant, and she had a lot of issues with the pregnancy.
Okay.
You know, in the meantime, I had a car accident at the exact same place twice in a matter of a week. And these are the two car accidents that I've had in my life.
Okay.
And I've been driving like for 16-17 years. So it was a very bad period. And I started working for this company, and they were doing affiliate marketing. They were getting like offers for different like product selling online, and they were just doing the affiliate stuff, just running the offers, finding publishers and that. And I liked the idea. I said, oh man, you know what?
What year was this? What do you mind me asking?
The year 2010.
Okay.
11 years ago. So I worked there for 2 months, and I liked the idea so much that I said, you know what? I'm quitting. Of course, I didn't tell them, but I decided to do my own company, but a little different because they were running other companies' offers, and I decided to build my own brands, like private label brands.
Okay.
Health supplements. I had to convince two of my friends on board because I have no like IT experience. I cannot build websites. I cannot code or anything. So
that's early to be doing your own products in like from Bulgaria, right? I feel 2010, 2011 to be doing private label. That's early, Nick. That's really early.
Yeah. I'll tell you the story. It's getting even better. So obviously, no, I'm this type of guy. If I see something that I like, I try to execute as quick as possible. Yep, so even though, I mean, I got two people on site because obviously I need people to design the website. So we picked the product. Acai berry. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
The Brazilian magic fruit. I think it's called acai berry and acai berry.
A-C-A-I.
Exactly. A-C-A-I. Yeah. Exactly. So I've it was like, So the way it was, I guess, miracle back then. So we did like a private label. One we called it bio acai berry. So we used the bio word long time before a lot of people. And we started selling quite crazy, you know. We started like $5,000, I guess the whole funding for the project. We ordered the products from the UK, and we just ordered like for as much as we had, and we spent like $100 for advertising, and we sold like 100 units.
So $5K US, but
Knowing
that a monthly salary is $500, let's say. For the normal person, average, that's what is that? 10 months salary?
Yeah, 10 months. But see, I mean, in my previous job, when I was making like $5K per month. So I had some money. I already got my apartment. So
I just like money. To put the perspective of like how big of an idea that is in a country like that. Because maybe my listeners won't understand that, you know? But it's a big deal.
Yeah, $5K even back then for a business is not that much. I mean, because for $5K, what can you buy back then? You know, probably you can buy 1/10 of an apartment back then. So it was not that much money, and we got work three guys in the. And the funny thing is that the two guys were not convinced. They didn't want to do it and say, "Okay, guy, you know what? I'll do the following. You know, I'll have like 2K on my site. I'll order stuff. I'll sell them, and I'll prove you that it's a good idea." I did that, and they say, "Okay, man, yeah, let's do that." Then we build a website with the first product. Then you know we started selling. Of course, once we sold the first one, we reinvested everything in more stock. We started advertising, and at one point, we're and this is like in a matter of 1 year. In 1 year, we're like having like 1,000 dollars per day advertising, and we're selling like 1,000 units.
That's
which
amazing.
Is crazy. Yeah, amazing. But yeah, the cost per click was like 1 cent, like one USD, because like Facebook was new. I mean, we're the first one doing like Facebook advertising for this type of stuff. And the company where I worked for 2 months, we became their biggest competitor, by the way. So
the one you were working for before.
Exactly, exactly. And then, you know, then what we do next? I mean, we developed a second product. Like, it was called extremepower.net. We still keep the domain name. So it was like a muscle builder, like the nitric booster type of supplements okay. that you got. You get
nitric buffs, booster, so. Like it makes your veins open up.
Exactly,
oxygen.
Exactly, exactly. So this was the second product. And it was even a bigger hit, you know, because everybody was into this stuff. And we started growing a lot. And of course, the next thing, what we did, expanded to Greece, Romania, Central Europe, whole Eastern Europe, and the whole rest of Europe. We were selling even in Scandinavia. And this was in a matter of like less than 2 years. So from the 5K that we started with in like 2010, we had like an annual revenue like 5 million in 4 years.
Okay, so pause there, because I think people can lose some of like the grasp of the situation. So I just want to break it down a little bit. One, I've been in e-commerce 10 years. So, you know, that puts me like starting around 2011. So that time, as someone that was trying to get my teeth sharpened on e-commerce and then started doing Upwork and things like that, where a lot of it was overseas in countries like Bulgaria or Russia or wherever that were doing a lot of the work. No one talked about Amazon. The only people thinking about Amazon were people putting product up for the first time, being distributors or private label guys. Like, it was very innovative guys like yourself that were hiring me in those days to do little projects for them. Okay, so I try to tell people my origin story, and I want to bring it full circle because I was doing projects like, I mean, now our industry is completely different than it used to be. But in those days, like, it was such an opportunity just to like, okay, I was launching people's brands from scratch. It'd be like you hired me for, you know, that five grand maybe you spent, like $300 to set up your listings and you do the SEO and, you know, those kinds of things. We were figuring it out together. Very much so. I would tell Nick, I'd be like, Nick, I know how to do these two things. I don't know the other two. I'll figure it out. And that was like how e-commerce was back then. Everyone was just kind of, I feel like, figuring stuff out. And one other thing I'll say that you touched on was your ads were like a penny, a cent each or 2 cents each.
Exactly.
So when I was launching brands in 2014 or 15, when I launched supplement brands, we hit $1.2 million. I was working for other people, but I was launching brands. You know, I learned on advertising when it first came out. I think it came out to Seller Central. I'd been on it a little bit on Vendor Central before that. It came out in 2015 and we were paying pennies, and I was learning. Like, I was getting, you know, if you spend $1,000 today, you might get 100 clicks or 1,000 clicks if you're lucky, you know, a month. But we were getting tons and tons and tons and tons. And so I was just really learning the ads with small budgets really early and getting really good at the ads. And I think that that's true of any thing that's, you know, like emerging in e-commerce. Like, if you can be a first mover and be fast, you can take advantage of those low bids. So I want to say, just like give a little tip here. Okay, so what's that look like today? You know, that's like when TikTok comes out, or that's when Discord comes out, or that's when some of these things come out. You don't know exactly what they will turn into, but if you're good at them when they first come out and you get into them and you learn them, it can be a big opportunity. And I would say in Amazon or e-commerce, the big move now is international expansion. So, you know, I launched a brand in Australia a couple years ago. I thought it was broken. I thought Seller Central was broken in Australia. I kept emailing my reps and my advertising partnership, whatever. I said, guys, like, I've been running ads. I have $10 CPC. I should be getting clicks. They're like, it's working. You're just paying like half a cent for a click back then. So it was like, you know, these are some of the things, like, you just shared all of that, and people might not know the nuggets they're getting from that. But being a first mover when no one else is doing this, in my mind, as someone that felt like for the first 4 years, no one even talked about what I did, and you were already doing it and scaling to a million plus, That's crazy.
Let me just, you know, make some, you know, I guess, correction here, because the thing is that I didn't sell where I was selling. I was never selling on Amazon, by the way.
Correct. So just website.
Exactly. We had like a private, we always have a landing pages, like the so-called bridge pages, like a sale page with like some success story, whatever, and then the product page.
Well, those were way more or enticing to brands or private label guys or entrepreneurs, because Facebook and those types of ads were still so cheap. But once those ads started getting quite a bit more expensive, people started looking for other options, right?
Yeah,
but in
exactly.
those days, like, why would I even use Amazon when I'm getting them?
Exactly. I mean, we're spending a lot. I mean, we use Facebook and Google. That's it. Facebook and Google. That's what we're doing. And that was great for like 4 or 5 years. But then, you know, we start getting trouble with Facebook, you know, because supplements, you know, you always need to watch out for their guidelines. And we start, of course, they tell, okay, I need to fix that. We fix that. They suspend your account. Then we fix it again. Then they suspend your account. So it was getting more and more troublesome. We're getting more and more competition, because obviously, once people see that you're selling, you know, they do what you do. Some of our competitors were just copying like one-to-one our product, like Extreme Power. They made this, they copied everything, like landing page, and they called it Extreme Game. But guess what? We didn't have a copyright, we have a trademark, so it was like it. We didn't know any. Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't matter. We had like 20 brands, like male enhancement, I guess how to stay hard, you know, all this stuff, breast enlargement. It was a huge hit. So all the products were good, because like I said, you were early, you know. When we started in any of the markets, like in Europe, like Italy, like Spain, Eastern Europe, you know, we were the first ones. I mean, but like I said, this is the key, you know, you need to be first, and you can take advantage of that so you can have the huge growth. And then, of course, like with any business, you know, you hit the roadblock. And the first roadblock was Facebook and Google's. Ads were going, I mean, the cost was going up, profit was going down.
Competition's coming.
Exactly, competition. And then the other funny stuff, mobile ads. This thing made a huge difference. You know, a lot of like clicks, no conversions with the mobile ads. So, and then, you know, we said, okay, you know what? This stuff is just, we're just spending too much money for like,
were people just using the phones but not really purchasing the phones?
Exactly. So we went from like, probably it cut our profit like 50% or more when they started running a lot of mobile traffic. And we decided, okay, you know what? We need to change stuff. I'm not talking about the small details, because we're expanding to a new market. You need like a new language. Translations, always an issue. We're using agencies. And then our partners in the country say, okay, guys, who did your translation? It sucks, you know? So expansion needs translation. You need to be testing. Of course, if you have a winning strategy, you should test that. But always do ABC testing. You know, you never start with a huge budget. Because even though we knew that we're early, we never invested too much money anywhere. We had like a small budget as a test. If it works, we go full scale. Then, you know, when you have a new product, we never made assumptions. I'm still like that. I never make assumptions. You always test. If it works, you scale. Because, yep. I mean, there is no way to burn money, you know, if you're not sure. There is no such thing. I'm 100% sure this would work. You don't know. I mean, this is bullshit. I mean, you always should be testing and never make assumptions.
Especially in e-commerce, especially in Amazon. You know, so many people want me to, the bigger the brand, the more predictions they want me to make and assumptions they want me to make. And I struggle. It's like they're pushing me against the wall and asking me to tell them something I don't know for sure. And I'm a straight shooter, you know? So I try to tell them that. And I'm like, look, these are the assumptions we can make based off data. But I've had people send in 5 pallets and they sold out in 2 weeks and we had no idea. And I've seen people send in 4 or 5 pallets and they did nothing. And we had the pivot, you know? So I've seen both sides a million times. You just don't know. You test small and you figure it out as it starts working. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I want to round out the first e-commerce story, because I do want to use the next 15 minutes to kind of talk about how you've leveraged like your experience with that first company into what you're doing today at scale, and I don't want to miss that opportunity. And we just got about another 15 minutes. So I don't want to give people all of the stuff about like with the brand, but is that why I think you talked about exiting? Let's kind of talk about why briefly and then go into because I'm seeing it more and more and more and more now. People that started in e-commerce doing one thing are now doing something else, but it's because no one else has that experience. And so like someone like yourself that's did your own brands, made these connections, understood the vendors you need, understand all the connections you need, and now you're leveraging that in sales. I'd love to give some nuggets around that too.
Okay. So this is the story. Now, so we hit the roadblock, so we need to switch. What we did, we start using affiliates and partners to run our offers. So we spend only based on performance. And that was for the next 4 or 5 years from till last year, in 2010. You know, we had some difference with my other co-founders. I told them, okay, I want out. I mean, it's getting very saturated. You know, I mean, I don't like it anymore. I mean, I'm into huge growth, early ideas. I'm not into just running a store with 1,000 products, which was the idea of my other co-founders. And I said, okay, no, I'll sell you my brands. You do whatever you want with them. That's it. So I exit my brand. I didn't know about aggregators back then. So
they didn't exist back then.
Yeah, but you were already in a downtrend. So we were not a perfect fit anyway. So, and I'm out. And we're using HelloTax for our VAT compliance.
Okay.
And, I knew the co-founders and they say, okay, Nick, when you know that you're selling the company, and we have an idea. We would like somebody to run the partnership program for us to set up that and start. I said, great. I mean, I'm already out of my previous company. So, of course, I'll do that for you. And I had no experience with Amazon. I mean, we were considering selling on Amazon before, but we never did that because we're doing well outside of Amazon. So I was new to the industry. So I started now with developing the partnership program because I knew how to do that. I was doing that already for my previous company, finding partners. I know how it works. You find as many as possible. You do some activities with them. And based on these results, you see who is reliable. It's simple as that.
Exactly.
So this is what I do with HelloTax. I checked what other companies are doing. And I saw that what the e-commerce industry needs is just education. And I never did a webinar, I never did a podcast until January this year. And this year I have done 40.
This is huge. This is huge, Nick, because this is exactly it. It's education and it's trust building. So for the longest time, as someone super passionate getting success on Amazon, while other people were doing web and winning big, I was winning big on Amazon and no one just knew about it. And so I was excited about it. I would go out there to the Facebook forums, whoever, and see articles like people that ran Facebook ads at a high level dogging on Amazon, people saying Amazon's bad, or all the reasons why not to use it. You can't track things, attribution, the revenue, you can't protect your brand, people can steal your ideas, Amazon steals your ideas. There's a million things, right? And I was instead helping small businesses really grow. Maybe that brand that was doing well and then were struggling because of Facebook, and now they got Amazon and found some of that business back. For example, that's an example of a brand helping a brand that maybe was using one opportunity and has moved. And you just talked about the space needed education. And I think that's where I really started my YouTube, my Instagram. Everything I was doing was not even really to get business. It was to build trust in a space where I think a lot of marketers and Amazon gurus, if I can say that, or consultants are full of shit. And they've lost trust with people. And I'm just kind of old school where I think, business is done through relationships at a high level. And I wanted people to trust me where I'm not getting on the phone and just convincing them about, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me. I wanted my content to build that trust automatically. So I think, you're right. And it's still an education game right now. Right?
It's still like that. So I'll give an example because the first thing that I did with HelloTax is I just went through communication, spoke with partners, and the first thing that I noticed that a lot of the partnerships are one-sided. And I have a call with these guys and they tell me, okay, I'll give you a referral link, I'll pay a commission and you'll send me business. I said, why the hell should they do that? I mean, you're not different. Everybody's doing that. Let's do something different. Let's do some events. Let's educate your sellers. Let's educate our sellers about
free value. Free value.
Exactly. Exactly. We do that. And we started doing that with all the partners. You know, and this is not the thing. There is also a lot of people who educate, like I said, gurus, but they don't know how to promote. And if you don't have people on your event or if people don't watch them, it doesn't make sense because you need audience who you can help. So this is one thing that I know how to do based from my other business. I would like always to have an audience because otherwise it's just like a call that I have with anybody every day. We need to help somebody. And by doing that, you know, I started organizing webinars and always now I speak with a lot of people and I like to connect people. I have the following, you know, like, it's not like ideas, belief, it's mindset. No, if I like somebody, I would like to connect him with as many of my partners as possible, because by helping them, I'm helping first the new partner, then my other partner. So I'm creating like a value for everybody. And I do it for free. I don't do it for money. I mean, I like to do it like that. I mean, and some people know it's funny, but because I talk with agencies all the time for health tax, because we help them with the VAT in Europe. And I spoke with like two like young girls last week and they said, okay, you're running a scam, you know? How come you don't want anything? I mean, how come you connect us for free? I said, I mean, explain, you know, I help you, I help them, you know, I build a good relationship, you know? Yeah, I mean, I'm a giver. I mean, and this is what my approach. Let's do something together. Let's, I guess, help each other. And if there is an overlap, the commercial part would come naturally. No, there is no need to force it. If I tell, okay, come, my solution is the best. I mean, why is the best? I mean,
I like to break it down like kind of like into a, like a dating relationship example. Like I very much think business and dating are very similar in regards to that relationship building. It's like, you know, if you immediately meet someone and you're like, I'm trying to take you home and sleep together, it doesn't work like that. You know, most times, like, I don't think most times it works like that for us. Definitely not one that gets to the ring stage, you know, exceptions aside, I'm generally speaking, but typically it's let's become friends and build trust together. And, you know, maybe I just take you home that night and drop you off safely and I'm not a creep. And the next time, you know, she's like, hey, that guy wasn't so bad. He's trustworthy. He didn't even try to like, you know, come inside when I was drunk or whatever the case might be. Right. It's like, exactly. It's just doing the right thing sometimes. Like, you know, you're just making connections, building relationship, being friends. Let's start there. And if we have some chemistry after we've hung out a couple times, then we'll see what happens. And I think that that's a silly example, but it's very, very similar to how I like to do business. And so that kind of like Gary Vee is not to keep bringing him up, but he's like a big influence to me and a known voice out there. And he just talks about, you know, content is either educational or entertaining. And I'm not here to make entertaining content. I do my best on the podcast, you know, make it fun, but it's really educational. And it's, you know, it's really like, hey, let's just educate on the space. Let's not educate for private label or resellers. In the early days for me, it was like, who's not doing anything for brands and manufacturers? And so I wanted to do stuff for brands and manufacturers because no one was talking to them about what they should be doing. So that was like, you know, that was my input. But I want to make a small plug here because we got about 10 more minutes. A shout out to our sponsor, Fullscale.io, helping you build software teams quickly and affordably. You talk about building partnerships and creating relationship. Matt DeCourcy, the founder of this podcast, Startup Hustle, another host, he's on 3 days a week, but also the founder of Fullscale, our sponsor for today's episode. For the longest time, he was just helping me. I didn't understand why. And I just kept thinking, kind of like your friend you mentioned, like, what is he trying to get from me? Right? It was just like, I mean, honestly, he's more successful than me. You know, his business is further along. I just couldn't really figure out what the value was in this guy, like helping introduce me to all these people in Kansas City and abroad. And it was really like just understanding that not everyone has a motive. It's rare, but some people don't. And at first it was Matt DeCourcy was just like, man, the first time we talked, you were working at 10 p.m. on a Friday. And I liked that. I called you on a Friday and you weren't out at the club. You were working and, you know, me and him had a convo and then I got on his podcast and a year and a half later, I'm now a host on the podcast. But it was just that kind of synergy of like, I like helping people. You seem like somebody that's trying to help yourself. I like helping people that are trying to help themselves already. And that was a relationship that I really had to get past some of my own insecurities of people just being willing to help sometimes and taking that help and knowing that I'll get a chance later to pay them back or to give them an opportunity, you know?
Yeah, and usually, no, you don't. I never ask, because all the time people tell me, okay, Nick, what can I do for you? And I said, honestly, nothing. And I have a reason for that. You know, my calendar is pre-booked for like 3 weeks ahead. I mean, I cannot take any more calls, you know. So I don't do it like it with a purpose. I connect people. I mean, the other thing is I've been fully remote since 2010.
Okay.
So I live in Sofia, the capital, in the winter. In the summer, I live on the Black Sea. We have a beach property. So for me, quality of life, it's first. You know, then it's money. Because in my previous company, I made a lot of money. I was semi-retired for like 2 years. I did some stupid shit. I traded oil futures. I was like $250,000 from what I made from the previous company. So you can make bad decisions. So, So right now, I guess on the right course, I help many of my partners as well, because I connect people for free. You know, they tell me, Nick, what can I do for you? I'll send you a referral. So don't worry, guys. No, I don't want referrals. I mean, I guess I made enough. I mean, I'm happy with what I have. So I guess I like what I do, you know. This, I mean, it's not like work, because I like what I'm doing.
How would you position that as a maybe a tip for our listeners that are listening today, that are trying to build out their biz dev or trying to do better in their sales or some of their like co-marketing stuff? You know, what's the real mindset that we're sharing, that we're talking about, which is just giving value to others just because you like helping people? But let's say someone is not just like Nick. What are some things they can do, you know, that you know of to help them grow their business? I guess like a tip in regards to getting more that way inside their culture.
I mean, tip, I mean, their culture, I mean, they should, I mean, like a sales company. I mean, when you have a product, you should be never, I mean, if you do B2B, never sell your product. Just show your product, educate people. If they like that, then you can do like synergies, you know. You can get outreach to their audience. So a lot of companies made the mistake to do like direct selling. They go for they would like to sell the product to like one brand or one person. You should go for partners, because partners have the outreach. If they like what you do, they will be happy to share that with your audience and add value and vice versa. So never sell yourself.
Great advice.
Build a story, you know. In any companies like that, I mean, HeroTags, they have a very good story, and I like them for a few reasons. First, they're fully remote. Everybody in the company works from home. We have people who are like in Bali, like nomads. We have people in the States. We have people all over Europe. Nobody cares where you're located. The two co-founders, Christian and Christoph, they were Amazon sellers. They were selling online. They had issues with the VAT compliance, and they were chatting in a Facebook group how they have issues with their sellers, and because they had like a small agency, both of them.
Okay.
How they had issues with that, and they say, okay, you know what, let's build a VAT solution, like a VAT compliance solutions for sellers, which is tailored for Amazon sellers. So they met online. They didn't meet, I guess, live offline for like 2 years, and they managed to grow a company from like zero to like 60 plus people, which are fully remote.
That's crazy.
And we have like 10,000 clients right now. And I like companies like that, who are open, who give, I guess, the freedom to their employees. Nobody's going to watch what to do. You know, it's company for people with the same mindset. You know what to do. You have your tasks. You know, no guidance, nothing. I mean, you help. And it's the same approach. We help. We help sellers to succeed, to expand. It's as simple as possible. I've done it myself. And in the webinars, this is the one thing we do. We tell them, here is now what you need to know. Here are the steps. Of course, you need to make the next one. And we have a very good moral for that in Bulgarian. You can take the horse to the river, but you cannot make it drink. So we can give you all the tips, but you need to make the last step. I mean, you need to make the decision. And a lot of time people ask me, okay, when is the best time to start my business? And I always say yesterday, because you need to be like proactive. Never wait. What might happen? what would happen? And here is another of my favorite quotes. Tell me if you guess who said that. You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take.
Shoot or shoot. Shoot or shoot. Because you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Michael Jordan?
Wayne Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky. Okay. Either one, I think, probably had something similar to say.
Exactly. As
they both shot a lot. How do you say that in Bulgarian, just for fun?
Which one?
You miss 100, or like the Bulgarian saying. I just want to hear it.
Oh, I mean the Bulgarian saying with the horse?
Yes.
Oh, with the horse, можеш да закараш коня до реката, но не можеш да го накараш да пие.
I love it. You know why? Because it's the podcast for me that's been the best like thing in my life that's really sparked my inspiration again as someone that's been in space 10 years, getting to talk to people like you, Nick, that are full of passion and competitive drive and ambition, but also that put family and quality of life first. And, you know, it's not just talking to other people in Kansas City or LA or New York, but, you know, we work with sellers and brands and partners all over the world. I think that's what I love about e-commerce so much is it's this kind of equalizing. It's an equalizer, you know, and it's, you started a brand in Bulgaria and using the UK to source products. And, you know, we help sellers all the time. That's why we even connected was I wanted to proactively, I wasn't looking for it. I proactively wanted to have, you know, a tool in my back pocket where someone's expanding to the UK or the EU or the Middle East. You know, we talked about, I think, an email chain yesterday. Mm-hmm. And they need VAT. Who do I plug them into? You know, who do I connect them with? And if I've already got that, I'm providing value to my clients. So I spend a lot of my time biz devving just so that whenever my brand comes to me for that thing, I've got a guy or I've got a woman or I've got a team that can fill that void.
Yeah, I have exactly the same approach. That was the one thing that I did at the beginning. Because HelloTax, we offer two things, VAT registrations and filing. That's it, nothing else. So, and my goal was the following. If we don't offer something, I must have a partner who offers that. So as simple as that. Because no, if I don't, I never say no. If I don't know something, this is what I do. I send email to my network, hey guys, do you know somebody? And by giving at the beginning, I know that somebody will help me out. As simple as that. I give without asking, but if I need an advice or help, I know that I just need one email and people will help me out. Or you'll help out the person who is asking.
Real life example. This is how business is done. And one thing I didn't touch base on just as we're rounding out here was you talked about not direct selling. And Marknology, like I'm proud of this because I think it's really hard to do, but through referral partners and inbound marketing, like Google, like our blog or our website, is where I get most of our leads from Marknology. And we're as busy as we can be. We don't pay for any ads. We don't say, hey, we want, if you were to ask me, Andrew, what are three brands you want? I don't really have a list because I feel like the right brands find us. We find each other. I'm not out there hunting them. You know, there's not like this specific brand I want. And it really is just about educating. You know, I think even one time I told someone, hey, I'm not trying to sell you. I just got on this phone call. I thought you had questions, you know, and I clarified because I'm like, look, I really am just here to answer questions. I'm not here to convince anyone of anything. I'm just here to help. And I set that straight because I wanted them to know, in no way was I trying to sell them. Right. At first, it was convincing that they need to be on Amazon. And then when they knew they needed to be on Amazon, it was, I need you to work with Marknology. Now everyone knows they need to be on Amazon for the most part. And it's, what are your needs? Marknology might be a good fit for you. You know, so a couple of things you just said there that I think are really big. And the thing that happened last night, I just mentioned was, I have a brand expanding to Saudi Arabia. And we've talked to an Amazon rep there. We're launching. He says, you guys need to get VAT in order. Okay. So Nick had already introduced me to several partners in the Middle East. But I didn't know of anyone that was particularly VAT for the Middle East. So I reached out to her and I reached out to you last night, I think, or early this morning. I think I scheduled my emails because it was late last night. And, you know, I was... We found a partner and a connection already. So I've got my brand set up to talk to someone, you know, soon about getting VAT in Saudi Arabia. And all I said was, hey, hey, his name is Andy as well. I said, Andy, I don't know exactly who we need to go to for VAT or what to do in Saudi Arabia. I'm learning this as we go. But let me, I got a couple of guys. Nick knows everybody. You know, let me reach out and see if he's got, you know, if he's got a referral for us. So that's really how, that's at least how I like to do business, you know, and it's just like, cool. You got, you plugged in your buddy or your friend's company. Maybe you've had him on a podcast before. You guys are just friends. You've done marketing together. And I'm sure it'll come back around. And I think that's, you know, we've had a conversation today, just going back and forth, but I think business has been done as well. And I hope somebody got something from this.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we never talk about business, but you know, we can
always talk about business. Yeah, yes, exactly.
We are helping. So, I mean, if you like us, know, you get in touch with us, you know how to find us. So we're not telling you anything, you know, we're just talking.
I think one of the best compliments I ever got was someone was listening to the show and they said they'd listened to an episode and hit me up. And they were like, it was really cool. I was just listening to you guys talk, tell stories. And then every so often I'd be like, ah, they're like, they threw a little business in there. You know, we're still like me and the guests were doing business on the podcast. And I didn't even notice because it just felt like a conversation to me. But when she, you know, she made mention of that, I'm like, that's how it should be. And maybe that's old school. Sometimes I feel older than I am, you know, but, no, there's been great tips today, but great tips. Yeah. And I wish we had another hour talking about your story.
Yeah, honestly, we have a lot of stuff, but just to summarize, you know, I guess build connections, help each other. Everything would come eventually. The commercial part, nature, information is the key, because if you don't have information, if you don't know how to do something, you don't do anything. So I guess meet people. It's the same with the Wayne Gretzky quote. I talk with everybody. I never make assumptions. This guy is small. This guy is big. I don't care. I talk with everybody. You never know who is like a great like partner or like a great relationship. So because
they might turn to your super fan. You know.
Yeah.
A super fan is someone that just talks about you every like chance they get. You know, and it can just be one person can outperform 10 or 20 others if they really, really believe in a service or a team.
Exactly. I like, you know, small, big partners, anybody, don't care. And I always talk with competitors. I talk with everybody. I would like to learn as much as possible, you know. Education every day, all the time, for free.
Nick, I know that I think it's like, just to our listeners out there, I think it's 11:30. Is it 11:30 over there, getting close?
Yeah.
It's late. And so this is Nick's last call. I'm really thankful for having you on the show, Nick. Thanks for staying up late to talk to our U.S. audience. This has been really fantastic getting to know you and your story a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk all the time. Like you said, my last call for the week, Friday is off, and the weekend's for me. So over. I go to bed in like 30 minutes, so it's over for me.
Well, if someone wants to connect with you personally or with get VAT services in the UK, or just maybe even a business or a service provider wanting to do partnerships with you, what's the best spot to reach you?
I mean, you can get in touch with Andrew and he'll connect you. Taxes are a personal topic. You know, we have referral links. We never share that because taxes are a sensitive topic. You don't go and buy tax on the website. Even though we're a SaaS solution, we do all that online. You need somebody to guide you, to tell you how things are done, to put the proper expectations, and then we can do this stuff. So if you guys need something, get in touch with Andy. He's a partner. Of course, we have discount for you guys, but don't worry. That's not important.
Well, wow. You're the only one. You're the only guest I've had. I've had over 100 episodes, I think. I'm getting close personally. The only guest I have ever known that pushed them back to me. So that's very honorable, very cool. I love your style, Nick, and I know I'll have you back on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, me too, Andrew. Yeah.
All right, thank you, hustlers. And once again, shout out to today's sponsor for our episode, Fullscale.io, helping you build software teams quickly and affordably. I'll see you next time, hustlers.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.